We had no idea what it was that God was going to do.
And between the two of us, we have talked many times that when we pulled up to that old antique shop and all that was there, Sandra Jo that night leaned over to me and she said, "How long you think it's going to be like this?" And I said to her, I said, "You know what, let's see what the Lord's going to do in a couple years or so." And you know, it was just miraculous to see what God has done. And we know that it is all the Lord. So I want to go, if you would come with me, take your Bible. Come with me to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read to you verses 16 down through 20. Title of my message this morning is, Why did we build a church here? Why did God lead these men through the years to come and work with their wives and to minister, whether few or many, whether for a short time or a long time? Why has God led for that to happen? And why are we here celebrating 50 years of Victory Baptist Church, ministering and allowing God to use us to touch lives? When we come to Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 down through 20, we come to what's called the Great Commission. But I'm going to kind of get a little before the Great Commission by starting in verse 16. Because I want you to see what God's vision was, not only for here, but around the world. For there are churches and corners and neighborhoods around the world. I have gone on many missions trips, and folks in our church go on missions trips with us. And we meet brothers and sisters in Christ just like you, whether it's in Europe or South America or in Asia. God had a vision, and He calls men and women to preach and teach the gospel and minister to people because He wanted to see what's here around the world. Listen to what He says to us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 down through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw them, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen, is what the text says. So we find within this text the very reasons that Sandy and I have labored here for this summer 32 years, and others labored from 6 months to, I think Ernie was here, 8 or 9 years. Each of us came to do what God called us to do. And when you look in this text, you ask, why? Why was there a church built here? Why did people like, I saw Louis and Connie sitting back here, all these many, many, many years serving in Victory Baptist Church, and Kathy and Harmon. I thought I saw Kathy. I don't see Harmon. He's hanging out in the parking lot, just like all the other teenagers. Yes. He was in charge of parking. He's over here by himself. You can come sit by Kathy. It's okay. But, you know, why have these folks been in the church so long? Harmon is a charter member. He's the only living charter member. We have a picture of that original charter signed by all those folks. And Brother Boyce, his name is right on there. You thought he was old. He is. But why? Why would God use folks through all this time? The first thing I want to show you in this text is because people want a place to come and meet with Jesus. It's as simple as that. People want to come to know the Lord. They have a yearning within their heart. God has put within our soul a yearning to know and to find faith and to have a relationship with God. When you look there at verse 16, it says, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And you and I here today, we're up on top of Woodman Hill, and here we meet with Jesus up upon this mountain. He started with his 12, but here we are today with hundreds. And it is because Christ desires to meet with us, and he's called us to come and meet with him. He's called us to go to the place that he desires us to be. You know, the New Testament tells us that it is he that adds unto the church. It's not Pastor Tim Taylor or Ernie Galt or John Reddick or Norm or Brother Gaborio. We are merely an instrument, a tool. It is God that does the work. And so when we look at this text, we see Jesus say to his 11 disciples, it says, he said to them, I want you to meet me in a certain place, and we're going to go ahead and do the business of God. That's exactly what happened here. Starting in 1969 in the library, and from there they went to all different locations throughout this area here. And in a few minutes we're going to show you pictures of the progression of the church over the 50 years. You'll see all the places that they rented and met. But each and every one of those places was the place where Jesus said, it's appointed for you to come and meet me there. And there the folks worshiped. It's interesting when we look at verse 16. Listen to what he says. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw them, they worshiped him. But some doubted. It's interesting the diversity of a church. You know, you find these individuals, each and every one of them uniquely different. From doubting Thomas, as the text mentions, some of them were doubters. From doubting Thomas to the bold Peter, who said, oh, absolutely, I would never deny you. But he finds himself denying Christ three times. Or you find John the Beloved, ever faithful, ever true, never backing down. Congregations are made up of all different people, all different economic standards, all different backgrounds. Some are at all different stages in their spiritual walk to come and meet Jesus. And some of you here today, you may be a doubting Thomas. You may be that bold Peter who really is too quick to say and not quite deep enough in here yet. That's where Peter was. And then some are like John, just stalwarts of the faith, rock solid, consistent throughout their lives. Each of us is uniquely different, but Jesus loves us the same. And he walks with us and guides us and ministers to us. And he calls pastors to pray for us and care for us and be there for us when somebody passes away in our family or there's an illness or when there's a celebration. That's why there's a church on top of Woodman Hill. Is because somebody at some time said, yes. Yes, Lord, we'll do what you've called us to do, that we might gather together with you as you desire to gather with us. When you go a little farther down in Matthew 28, you look at verses 18 and 19. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He wants us to understand that, listen, not only does he want to meet with us, he wants to work with us. He wants to fulfill his promises in us. And that's the second point. Why did we build a church? So that we ourselves might have a place to come and worship and to claim the promises of God. Whether it be the most basic, fundamental of the promises. And that is simply that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a promise. A promise that if we will turn from our sins and turn to the Savior, accept him into our heart and into our life, allow him to forgive us of our sins, that we might embrace the gift of eternal life. He promises to give us eternal life. What an amazing promise. And we as a church, we come, we gather, we pray for one another, and we present the gospel so that people might come to know Christ. Jesus said, all power is given to him, both in heaven and in earth. We claim those promises based upon his power. The reality is, he is God in the flesh who left heaven above, came, born of a virgin, that he might die on the cross for your sins and mine. That's a powerful truth. That's a life-transforming reality. That is an eternity-changing truth. That if we will but put our faith in him, he, through his power, through his might, not through ours, not through our goodness, not through our good works, not through our desire, but through the grace and mercy of God, we have eternal life. We claim those promises. Whether those promises touch our spiritual life or our physical life, there's many of folks who come to the Lord and cry out to him and say, God, touch me and heal me. And I've seen God do it through the years. There are those who come and claim the promises of God for their finances. Lord, give me the wisdom and the guidance to be the steward I should be for you. Now, for sure, you can outwaste God's blessings. He can bless and bless, and you can waste it and throw it away, and by far you can waste all that he gives. But through his might and power, if you will let him, he will show you the standards of stewardship where you can prosper and do well and live a life that, yes, is even debt-free, can you imagine, in the year 2019. But I know many Christians who have, because they've claimed the promises of the Lord. And all power is his. But it's not just spiritual or physical or financial. It's also family. Through the years, I've seen many, many families touched and changed by the power of coming to know Jesus, raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's one of those key reasons that a church sits upon the hill and is a lighthouse out into the community so that families can come and worship and grow together, that bond might be deep. When I meet with young couples before they get married, I try to emphasize to them as much as they're willing to hear. Because love really does something to their senses. Have you ever noticed that? As a pastor, I'm telling you, it's true. You sit down and you meet with those newlyweds that are getting ready to get married. They're glowing. They're blind deaf. But I try to emphasize to them, listen, make sure you keep Jesus Christ as the center of your marriage, because you will go through struggles and troubles. No, not them. Are you kidding? They have found the most perfect, flawless human being ever created by God, and they're blissfully and blindly and deathly in love. But you know what? It's not long. And they realize, wow, they really do need God in the center of their marriage, because believe it or not, somebody has a flaw. And so the church is there to help those families come together and work together, work through every struggle, every difficulty, every adjustment, all those things. All of a sudden, that blissful young couple, by some natural means, they have a visitor that stays from anywhere from 18 to 21 years or more. And what a massive change in their lives. I tell young couples, one baby is a little adjustment. Wait till you start multiplying them. One, two. Wow, that was a huge change. Joy now has six. Joy and Joe, my daughter and son-in-law. I saw them over here. Every time I look for Joy in church, is it because she has six kids? Okay, all right. But just think how much it changes your life. And you need God. You need the Lord to guide. You need that instruction, that comfort to know the Lord is with me. Even if I'm only getting 2 hours of sleep and caring for three kids or whatever the case is, the Lord is with me. And then all of a sudden you see all those kids start to leave. That happens. You might not think so, you young couples. You think this is a life sentence. It's not. Before long, they're gone. And you're looking across the breakfast table and you're saying, wow, it's just you and I. Well, you want to make sure it's not just you and I. You want to make sure it's you, your spouse, and the Lord. Because every change, every shift, you need Jesus in the center. You need Him, His Word, guiding you, instructing you, helping you. Because that's not even the end of the adjustments. All of a sudden comes retirement. It's not fast. It doesn't happen quick. It takes a lifetime. But all those pastors standing up here, these guys are all at the age where either they are retired or they're going to retire. Happened over a lifetime. And what a huge change when you're no longer going to work every day, but now you really are looking at each other every day. I've heard more than one wife say, I don't even know what I'm going to do. He's here every day, all day. That's when you need the Lord. Amen? You see, we have a church here because we need to have a place where we not only come and worship Him, but we connect and we claim His promises and we hide His Word in our heart and we use all that He offers to us through His power to live our lives in a victorious way that we might honor and glorify Him through all the changes in our lives. James chapter 1 verses 6 and 7 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You and I, we need to be strong in our faith and coming to worship, coming and gathering and growing in the Word of God and our walk with Christ. It enables us to be unwavering because we want to claim the promises. We want to walk with Him. James chapter 1:25 says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. A doer of the word. A doer. It changes and shapes and makes us into people that we should be, that God wants us to be. But there's a third reason in our text why Victory Baptist Church is here. And that is in the last part of our text, verses 19 and 20. He says to us, go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You see, we needed a place to serve. We need a place to serve. This morning, as I was getting ready, working through everything and doing my share this morning to make the day go well, I had gotten a little blip or bling or ding or whatever you call that on phones today. I'm not really sure, but it notified me that I had a little message. So I went in there, I opened my phone, and it was from Juliana. I saw, where did... And go. They're all leaving. What's happening here? I'm just teasing. But our treasurer and her daughter, Juliana, who's married to a preacher down in Massachusetts, she had gone ahead and sent a message that said, 50 years. Wow, I wish I could be there. And I messaged her back and I said, I wish you could too, but God bless you for serving the Lord where you are. And through the years, the 50 years, Victory Baptist Church has seen a lot of young people grow up, go to Bible college, serve in the ministry around the world. even right now, today. You see, we need a place to serve here and around the world. That's what the text says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you forever, even unto the end of the world. So whether it be a Juliana, whether it be Ted Brace's son down in Missouri who's in the ministry, or a list of others that I could list out who are out doing the work of God. It started because there needed to be a place where we could serve, where we could serve right here. Our goal is to serve the living water. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 says, he was talking to the woman at the well. He said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Talking about the water in the well. But talking about what he had to offer, what he still offers. He says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I give, him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what Jesus offers. That's what we offer. We say, come to Christ. Come that he might give you that living water. This morning when you came and you registered for the little gift box that we're going to give with all these unique things that represent the history of the church, we gave you a little water bottle. And I did that on purpose. I want you to remember that Jesus Christ is the living water. I want you to remember that you came to the 50th anniversary of Victory Baptist Church and we gave you a water bottle to remind you that Jesus Christ is the living water. He is who we serve. He is who we are giving forth. He is the one that we are representing. It's interesting when we read verses 19 and 20 where it says the word to teach twice. It says, teach before baptism, teach after baptism. What that is, it's a representation of winning people to Jesus Christ, the living water, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost after they receive Christ, and then continuing to teach them in discipleship. That's what we strive to do on top of this hill where we've come to meet Jesus and claim his promises. We're striving to go ahead and serve together. This morning, as we are up here in this room having our service, down below in the fellowship hall are a myriad of boys and girls who are having their own service. Now, today we brought in Pirate Man Dan. Pirate Man Dan's not with us every week, but Pirate Man Dan does an amazing job with boys and girls. But to be honest with you, our regular weekly junior church folks do an amazing job. They do puppets, teaching. They pray with the kids. They give them a snack. I don't give anybody a snack. I mean, they've got a good thing going down there. Why? Because we want to teach. From the youngest to the most senior of seniors, we want to teach. We want to see people receive the living water. We want to see people turn from their sins and receive Christ and their lives to change and their eternities to change. We want to go ahead and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost as the scriptures have taught us. And then we want to keep on teaching so that they can claim the promises. Do you know that the Bible holds within it 3,573 clear promises. I want you to grab that number. 3,000. Phew. I need to get in the retired line. 3,573 promises in your Bible. It's a lot of promises. It's a lot of promises. You and I, if we went around the room, maybe we could remember 100, maybe 2. But 3,573? That's why the church is here up on top of Woodman Hill. That's why we're celebrating 50 years. Because we want to meet with Jesus. Because we want to claim his promises from salvation right through every part of our lives. And because we want a place to serve. Through the years, I meet many Christians who say to me, "Oh yeah, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I've even received Christ. But I don't ever go to church." You're really missing what it's about. Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling together of ourselves, as the custom of some is. But he says for us to come. Come and meet with Jesus. Come and learn his word. Let it change and shape you and empower you. Come that you might serve. Serve the one who died for you. Let's bow our heads. Maybe this morning, as I just went through the scriptures, maybe this morning you've thought to yourself, "I've never received Christ as my Savior, and I need to do that." Then before this day is over, come and talk to me. Come talk to Brother John Reddick or Norm Frank or Brother Roger Gaborio. Just walk up to us and say, "Hey, I need to receive Christ." We would count it a privilege to open our Bible, to answer any questions you might have that you might receive the Savior. And as your head is bowed, Christian, I ask you, why are you here this morning? Have you come to meet with Jesus? Have you come to know him better and his power and claim his promises? Have you come to serve him? My hope and prayer is that that is why you're here today. Father in heaven, as your Holy Spirit moves and works in our midst, Lord, we thank you for the many, many, many blessings you've given to us. And Lord, if there be one person here today that has not received you as their Savior, then I pray you'd stir them, move in their heart and soul, that today as we're mingling, as we're talking, that they would approach me or one of the other pastors or one of the officers of the church, that they would approach them and say, "I need Christ." Lord, how I pray you'd stir their soul. I thank you, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.